Blog Talk Radio.
To the people and the Gentiles, Tommy Hart, the one the authorized version ascribes the name Lord God is Real, appears among us with great news. A former preacher of the church and author of the book of the law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God, Lord God would like to share what he has discovered during what is now a 39-year study of the authorized version Bible, also known as the King James Bible, coming from the Vatican. He comes to show Bible truths that have been hidden throughout Bible content. Lord God is Real decrypts all things kept silent and in secret inside the pages of the AVB, aka the KJV, all with a level-headed, easy-to-follow analysis unlike any other. His Excellency logically restructures the AVB's confusing text and separates the subject matter into two categories, truth and fiction. He also defines with clarity what is meant by the terms Lord, in all caps, Christ, God, many other titles, and who claims them now in this day. His Majesty concludes, the authorized version Bible, written in the year 1611, is primarily a law book, a history book, a legal document, and the first law between the Pope of Rome, the papacy, and the Gentiles. In other words, those who are classified as white people. Knowing the AVB, written during the conquest of Africa, Lord God exposes the many laws of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelations, which include the law of Passover, the law of God, and the law of the curse carried out on African black people worldwide. It is established the Vatican is a governmental body institution hiding in plain view under the cloak of religion. Lord God is here because the Vatican called for him in the pages of the AVB. So without further ado, it is with great enthusiasm I bring before you the host of the show. Please join me in a warm round of applause, the magnificent Lord God Israel.
Hello, and welcome to Lawmaster's Law of God broadcast. Today, I will be talking on the subject of God. I want to give the guest call-in number, which is 718-664-6262. Guest call-in number, 718-664-6262. Call in. Let's talk. Let's talk about God. Let's see here. The first scriptural statement will come from 1 John chapter 1. And that's 1 John 1, 5. 1, verse 5. In that statement, we find these words, God is light. God is light. What does that mean? What does the word, let's start with the word light. What does light mean? And to just be clear in what I am doing, I want to say this. My teaching on God is a first. Is a first. The teaching of God, in accordance with the scriptures, is not taught elsewhere. It is not taught in the church. Of course, it is not taught in the schools. It's not taught at the courthouses. It's just not taught. The subject of God, according scriptures. Now, in religion, they teach Jesus. Jesus is the principal character in religious teachings of the Gentiles. Christianity, let's say that. Okay? But God, according to the scriptures, in accordance with the scriptures, is not taught. Yes, you may hear a minister read statements, Bible statements, having to do with God. But the true teaching of God is not taught. I have also stated before that religion is based on lies. During my years of scrutiny and analysis of Bible content, that's the conclusion I have reached, that religion is based on lies. Religion teaches that Jesus is a real character. But in the Bible, in the Authorized Version Bible, Jesus is found to be a character, a made-up character, a fictitious character who went about breaking certain laws. One principal law that the character broke and was charged with breaking is the law of the Sabbath. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John portray the character persistently breaking the law of the Sabbath. Okay? So, religion teaches lies. In religion, the character Jesus is taught to have died and rose again, and that he is coming back to earth. All lies according to the Bible. Jesus is a fictitious character who went about breaking laws and was eventually caught and duly charged with breaking the law of the Sabbath, among other laws. And one of the penalties of for breaking the law of the Sabbath in the Bible is death. So Jesus was tried, found guilty, and he was put to death as the law of the Sabbath states. Okay. Now, the subject of God, in accordance with the scriptures, is not taught. My teaching on God is a first. It's a first. And no wonder, because God wants to know people, wants to let people know that he has come. And I'm speaking about God in accordance with the scriptures, not a God that you may have made up or that someone else has told you about, but the God who, the one who fills the bill for God and is in accordance with the scriptures. Trying to watch my phone line to see if we have any callers. Okay, we don't have any callers right now. So let's get to it. The word light. What does light mean? Now, light could be an adjective. It could be a noun. In 1 John 1:5, to me, it's an adjective. God is light. So, what does the adjective light mean? Let's see. I check with Webster to find out. So, light could also be a verb. Light could be a noun, an adjective, or a verb. The adjective light means, one of the definitions is, of little importance, of little importance, not serious or profound. So I ask the question, is God light? Is God unimportant? Is he? How much talk do you hear concerning God? You probably hear very little. Yes, you hear men and women use, they say the word God. But remember, I'm speaking concerning God in accordance with the scriptures. How much do you know about God? How much do you know about the Bible? Two questions. Two things, knowing about the Bible and knowing about God. The only true method of learning of God is learning what the Bible has to say about God. And it does say a lot about him. How much do you know about him already? And I'm speaking about before listening to my program. Okay. What did you think of God before finding or coming to my program? What do you think about God? What do you believe already about God? Are those things in accordance with Scripture? Is God light? Ever said? And here I'm speaking concerned with regard to the definition, not serious, of little or no importance. Well, the church deals lightly with God. The church sees God as a light thing. And when I say the church, I mean it doesn't matter whether it's a Catholic church or denomination, faith or whatever, or Baptist or Methodist or Episcopalian or Presbyterian or Jehovah's Witness. It doesn't matter. They all, if you look at their teaching, see God as light and of little or no importance. Why do I say that? I say that because they do not teach God. Their teaching of God is not in accordance with the scriptures. Not in accordance. Because if it were, then the things that I'm teaching about God, you would already know. Yes, you'd already know them. Mm-hmm. Is God of little or no importance with you? And the better question is the Bible of little or no importance to you? I know many people tote the Bible around. They carry it about. They tote it to church. To Bible study and all. They have a Bible. The minister, his main book is the Bible. He turns to this scripture and he turns to that scripture. But the subject, the true teaching of God is avoided. It's not there. How do I know? Because I have done a scrutiny and analysis of Bible content and found that with the things I see in there concerning God, those things are not taught in the church world. They're just not taught. They give you a different take. Yes, they read scriptures, as I said. Yes, they do. But the their teaching, the body of their content, is not in accordance with the scriptures. This is very important. It's very important to me because I don't want to be lied to. I don't want to be tricked. If I'm going to hear someone, I want to make sure that they are speaking truth, with truth, and in truth. And the only way I can determine that is to compare what they say to Bible content concerning the subject. That's the only way I can find out if they are teaching Bible truth. Well, that's what happened to me. In the beginning of my scrutiny and analysis of Bible content, I began to see that it just wasn't there. What I was being taught and had been taught about Jesus, God, and the Bible was contrary to what I was seeing in the Bible. And, of course, I didn't see everything at one time. This came about. My knowledge of God has come about incrementally. Okay? And I studied. And I guess that's what kept me studying the Bible, analyzing its content, because I kept finding out things, saying, wow, I didn't know this. I was taught this, but I see the Bible actually teaches this. Okay, so one thing light means as an adjective is of little or no importance, not serious or profound. And of course, with me, God is a very serious subject. Because since I began studying the Bible years ago, the Bible was a serious book to me, and I studied it seriously. Okay. Easy to bear. Another definition for the adjective. Light, not burdensome. That sounds good, doesn't it, to the religionists and to the masses of the people? God is easy to bear. He doesn't put a whole lot on you. He doesn't demand much. He doesn't call for much. He calls for much of nothing. You know, it doesn't call for much at all. Not burdensome. Not burdensome. Easy to bear. No big deal. There we go again. Light. He's not burdensome. He's easy to bear. He's no big deal. Okay. Is God a big deal to you? If so, then you should love this program because I teach Bible truth of God. Of course, the religionists say the same thing. But see, they don't give you any proof. They just give you scriptures that you don't understand, okay? And they know you don't understand the Bible, so they can tell you anything. Now, there's the term organized religion, where years ago people got together and determined what they would teach. And that's how the church doctrines and all came about. That's how what they would teach with regard to Jesus, God, and the Bible. That's how all that came about. Men came together, people came together and determined, we will teach this and not teach that. We will teach this and not teach that. We will teach lies and will not teach the truth of Bible content. Organized religion. They are organized in the things they teach. And the things they teach have been determined long ago. Long ago. of people, they just fall in line, can't suck up the teaching. And the teachings are not serious. It's the opposite. It's the opposite. Their teachings are not serious. Bible teaching, Bible truth, is a serious thing. Okay? So, yes. And I put these two questions, I see them as having equal weight. Is God a serious thing with you? And the question, is the Bible a serious thing with you? Can't have one without the other. As I said, because the Authorized Version Bible, the Bible, is the only authoritative book in the Gentile world. The Bible. And I take it a little bit further. I say the Authorized Version Bible, because there are other versions that change words, and in doing so, meanings are changed and everything. But the Authorized Version Bible is the one. It's the one I use. It is the only one I use, because I take the Authorized Version Bible as being the authoritative book on God that the masses have access to. The Authorized Version Bible, commonly called King James, you're moving along. Light. God, the Bible said, 1 John 1:5, is light. What does light mean? What does God mean to you? What weight do you put on the Bible content? No wonder God is. The world treats God as a light thing. It's obvious, very obvious. Most people don't mention God or think about God until the day they go to church. Okay? The day they go to church. The other days, God is not there. As one statement in the Bible says, God is not in all their thoughts. God is hardly in any of their thoughts. I'm talking about religious people. And religious people, you know, speak so many like they'll say, I'm not religious. I'm not religious. I mean, you know, they are religious. You know, they'll say Jesus is real, and I'm not religious. But a teaching of Jesus, their belief is a religious belief and not a true Bible belief. Why? Because they don't know any better than that. The preachers fool the people and teach lies to them. Well, let's move on. The definitions of light as an adjective I used are of little importance, not serious or profound, easy to bear, not burdensome. Here's another definition of light as an adjective: not burdened with grief or sorrow, happy. Okay, not burdened with grief or sorrow. I want to read one scripture, and I haven't used this scripture before in my teaching. I don't think in my outward teaching. I have not used it before. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, Listen to this. I'm going to start reading with the first verse and read through the second verse. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. Listen to this. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Now, in religion, they teach that that's talking about Jesus. Well, it's talking about God. From my experience and from my study, and remember, Jesus is a fictitious character. God is a real, true-to-life character. God exists. Okay? God exists now. And the proof of God is in the one the Bible calls God. And that individual certainly exists. Okay. If the one who fills the bill for God lives, then God lives. Okay. Lives, where you can actually see him, hear his voice, he's a person, a human being. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Now, what is the Bible, first and foremost? Who does it belong to? Who has it always belonged to? I know now everyone has access to the Bible. Anyone can go to a store and buy a Bible. Okay? All people have access to a Bible, for the most part. But who has it always belonged to? The Bible has always belonged to the Gentiles. Okay? The Bible was not always accessible to black people. The Bible was not always meant for black people. When black people were slaves, the slaves were dumb. The slaves could not read. It was against the Gentiles' law to teach a slave to read. Okay? So slaves had no use for any book, the Bible nor any other book. They could not read. They were made dumb by the Gentiles, commonly called, the Gentiles are people who now a lot call themselves white people. Okay? So the Bible has always been the book belonging to the Gentiles, alias white people. You may call them Europeans, but now for the most part, from what I hear, news people, TV and all like that, and in real life, and on applications, you see white people, the white race. Okay, but they were once outwardly called Gentiles. That was their name. And the Bible reminds them of that. You were once Gentiles. And if you were once a Gentile, you're still a Gentile. In the eyes of the Bible, the Gentiles are still Gentiles. It reminds them of that. the Bible does. Okay. When we, who is the we when we shall see him? When we, when the Gentiles, when we, the Bible speaks for, the Bible speaks to all people. The Bible speaks to the Gentiles. The Bible speaks to God. The Bible speaks to judges. The Bible speaks to princes, kings, queens, etc. The Bible speaks to people. The same, now the Bible's message and what it has to say to God is not the same as it has to, as it has to say to men, whether they have high rank or low rank, high status or low status. Okay? What the Bible has to say to men is not the same as what it says to God, but the two are in agreement. Okay? Like the Bible says to God, you know, God, God, you know, Israel shall be thy name. That what it says to the people is all the people, it says worship God, you know, serve God. His servants shall serve him. Okay? Serve God. That's what it says to the people. It says honor the king. And God is a king, scripturally speaking. God is a king. Okay? And it says honor the king. Okay? But it says to God, thou art the king of Israel. You are the king having the name Israel. Okay? So the Bible speaks to all people, even in Psalm 49. Let me turn to it. Psalm 49 says these words, hear this, all ye people. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. Give ear to what? Give ear to the word of God. Give ear to the Lord God. Hear what he has to say. Give ear. Okay? All, key word there, all the people. So it does speak to all the people. And it speaks to God. And it has a separate, distinct message for each one, the people and God. But yet those two messages agree with one another. Back to Isaiah 53:2. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Now, in the Bible, here's a key something. In the Bible, the Gentiles speak one to another. Okay? They speak one to another. In the Bible. This is one such statement. It says, when we the Gentiles shall see this individual who we know fills the bill for God, there will be no beauty in him that we should desire him. But they are, those same people, are to trust in that God, the living God. Let's go to Romans. Romans chapter 15. I'll start reading at verse 9. And that the Gentiles might, there we go, there's the word Gentile. Yeah. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing to thy name. Okay. And again he said, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. Whose people? God's people. God's people. Yet in religion, they teach everybody is God's people. You know, everybody. I don't care who you are, what you are, everybody. You belong to God. That's not true. It's not true according to this statement I'm reading. It says, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. That his. His was in Isaiah 53. No, him was in Isaiah 53. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. And here we have the pronoun. Here we have the pronoun his. Whose people? God's people. The scripture is clear there, showing that the Gentiles and God's people are two different groups. Rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. Now, don't tell me all are the people of God. There's a distinction right there. Okay, I believe the Bible. Religion may teach differently. I believe the Bible. I decided a long time ago to side with the Bible when what it teaches and what I hear men say are not the same. I side with the Bible. Yes, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles. That's a commandment to the Gentiles, isn't it? That's a commandment to the Gentiles. Praise the Lord. That's not said to the Lord. It's said to the Gentiles. Praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles. All the Gentiles are commanded. Wherever they may be, they are commanded to praise the Lord when he appears and makes himself known. Because that's the plan. That when this one who fills the bill for God, you know, after he gets done, he finds that out. He should make himself known. He should seek to make himself known. And the Gentiles are commanded to what? Praise that individual. Praise them as God. Definitely praise. Praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. Okay? It mentions the Gentiles explicitly. Okay. Now, there's reason for all this, which I will not go into today, but I have taught on earlier. Study the archives. Check out the archives from the beginning of this program up to the present. Study the archives and remember what you learned, because everything is builds on the other thing that goes before. And again, verse 12, Romans 15, Isaiah said, there shall be a root of Jesse, and this is the statement I'm trying to get to right here. He that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Who is the him? The one they were talking about, the one they are commanded to praise, the Lord. He that shall rise to reign over. Okay, you could say, okay, why God? Well, what's the plan for it? The scripture says here, he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. Whether they be kings, queens, princes, judges, presidents, it doesn't matter. He that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. I'm talking about God. I'm talking about the God that the Bible talks about. I'm not talking about a spirit up in the sky that you cannot see and you cannot hear with the ear. I'm talking about a God that you can see with your eyes and hear with your ears. As the Bible says, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. And the people, all the people, are commanded to what? Hear the word of God. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Just a multitude of scriptures commanding the people to hear God, the real God, when he comes. Again, is God light with you? Do these things that I'm going over, do they mean anything to you? If not, God is light with you. You view God as one that is unimportant, of no importance. Is God light with you? He that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. The Gentiles are unallowed to trust in God, to praise God, to rejoice with the people of God, over God. Yes, they are commanded to put their trust in the living God. That's why you have a statement in the Bible, and that statement coming from the people, the Gentiles, saying, we trust in the living God. The Bible speaks for, the Bible speaks to the Gentiles, it speaks for the Gentiles. Just as the Bible speaks to God, the living God, the one who can pick up this Bible and read it, the one who can open this book with his hand and read from it, as I am doing now. The Bible talks to God. And the Bible talks in behalf of God and in support of God. Just as it talks in behalf of the Gentile. Okay, so we see a little of a plan for God. Okay, that the Gentiles should rejoice in him with his people. They should praise the Lord God. They should laud him. All the people should laud him. And God is to rise to reign over the Gentiles. And in him, in God, the living God, shall the Gentiles trust. That's Bible. That's the Bible plan of the Gentiles. God is to rise, reign over them, and in him shall they trust. In him shall they trust. They shall trust in him. That's the plan for the Gentiles with respect to God. They shall trust in the living God. And God shall rise to reign over them. Have sovereign authority over them. Not they reign over God, but God reign over them. So then, God is not inferior to any Gentile or equal to any Gentile. whether it be a king, queen, prince, judge, president, it doesn't matter. God is not inferior to any. God is superior to all Gentiles. God is superior to all people. The Bible gives him that. Okay? Yeah. Yeah. The Bible. It was originally, and it still is, the Gentiles' book on God. On God. It has good things in it. It has evil things in it. Okay? In this same Bible, you have the Gentiles' curse against black people, which was carried out by the Gentiles. I've said that the curse came from the Vatican. Irregardless of where the curse came from, it came from high-ranking Gentiles. Okay? Let's put it like that. High-ranking Gentiles. Okay? And the Gentiles, the armies and forces of the Gentiles carried out that curse against black people. That was not good. It was not good at all. It was an evil that they spoke against the Gentiles, spoke against the black people, and it was an evil that what they did against the black people in invading the black people. They say we came from Africa. They do say that. And that's why we say we came from Africa. They we came from Africa. Okay? But that was an evil. They enslaved us. They scattered us. They bought and sold us. That was an evil. And the Bible admits that that was an evil. Which brings about another point. The Bible is the highest ranking law book in the Gentiles' world. That's profound. The Bible, the authorized written Bible, God is saying this, is the highest ranking book in the Gentile world. Now, but there is a book that does outrank the Bible. Yes, I did say it was the highest. But there's a book that's higher than it. And that is the book that comes from God. That is the book that comes from God. The Bible places God above an authority, rank, power, status, etc., over all people. So his work is by virtue of him, of his nature, high in status. The works of God are holy. We are talking about God. Talking about God. No one calls in. Again, that call-in number is 718-664-6262. 718, call-in for Lawmasters program, 718-664-6262. The Bible. Highest ranking book in the Gentile world, yet there is one book now that outranks it. The book of God, the book coming from God. And the Bible allows that to be so. Isn't that something? We're still talking about the subject of God. Is God light? Is the Bible light? If God is light with you, or to you, meaning light, meaning of little or no importance, trivial, not deep, not profound, if that's how you see God, then that's also how you see the Bible. Let's go back for a moment and consider the statement in that I read from Isaiah 53, which says, when we shall see him. In that statement, there is an admittance that they shall see him. They will see him. But when they see him, he will be nothing that they desire. But they are not to be moved by their desire. They are to be moved by the law. What does the law tell them? The law tells them to honor God, worship God, serve God, do what he says, do what God says. That's their law and their holy book. And God holds them to that. God holds the Gentiles to precisely that which the Bible holds them to. And the Bible says of them with respect to their relation with God. The Bible is not a playbook. The Bible is an authoritative book. And it speaks definitively of God and of the Gentiles. Definitively. When we shall see him, the Gentiles have stated in the Bible, which speaks for the Gentiles and in their behalf, that when they shall see God, and they shall see him in accordance with Bible teaching, God will not be anything that they should desire, but he will be one whom they shall serve, obey, honor, says the Bible about them. They are commanded to rejoice in the one they say, when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. But that's not strange, is it? The Gentiles didn't see any beauty in any black people. Remember, they enslaved the black people. And now, God is a black man. I am black. I'm a black man. I'm of the black race. Okay? One of the same race that they enslaved. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire. Yes, these things deserve time. The Bible says to God, do nothing rashly. Don't just run over some statement. Deal with them. Deal with the matter. And that's what I seek to do. Obey Bible commandments that have to do with God. And that's another thing. The Bible gives commandments to God. The Bible commands God. I don't see anything wrong with that. I don't see anything wrong with being told what to do. We live in a world wherein, in which you are told what to do. You're told what to do on your job. You're told what to do with regard and respect to your family. You're told what to do. We are constantly being told what to do. I don't see anything evil or wrong in that, unless you're getting bad advice. You know, but as long as it's good, beneficial to you, beneficial to mankind, to people, beneficial to God, yes, then being commanded is good. How do you know if you're doing what is right? What does the commandment say? What are you commanded to do? What are you commanded not to do? God is not to submit to the people, even the Gentiles. The people are commanded to submit themselves to God, the Lord, who you can see, who is in human form, who's a black man, because that is the case. God is a black man. How can I say that? Because I am a black man. And I feel the bill for God. No doubt. I know what it says about God. I know what the book says about God. And that should be what you want to know. What does the book say in truth about God? And about you being one of the people? I don't apologize for taking this time and saying the things that I have said and shared with you during this episode. I don't apologize because I'm just speaking the truth. And isn't that one of the commandments in the Bible? Speak the truth. It is time to speak the truth. It is time also to support the truth, uphold the truth, and that the truth be established, the truth of God be established. There's a statement in the Bible that says there is no mercy, truth in the land. Well, there is truth in the land now. That was so before God, before the coming of the Just One. Now the Just One has come, and there is truth in the land, and the Bible commands that truth of God be established. Be established. Okay? And that it be legally established. That's the thing. That it be legally established. And the scripture goes on to say, and that all the Gentiles might hear the truth of God. And that is the will of scripture, that the Gentiles hear. That they hear God, and that they humble themselves before God and submit themselves to God. But that is not just true of the Gentiles. Black people also, all people, remember the statement I read? All ye people, let me turn to Acts, King Acts, let's see here. Acts chapter 8, verse 10. What it says about God. This man is the great power of God. Of course, I have not read to you the characteristics of God as they have been set forth in the Bible and set forth in my work. How do you know who is God? How do you know when he has come? I've read the statement to you, and I've said to you several times before that God is now seeking to make himself known. That statement is in John, and that's a true statement. That's what I'm doing. That's what I am doing. Now, I am in the process of seeking to make myself known. The Bible says to God, show thyself, manifest thyself, make known that, make thyself known, okay? And I obey Bible commandments having to do with God and concerning God. I obey Bible commandments. So, since I have been commanded to show myself, make myself known, that's what I'm doing. This man, so God is a man, a human being, a real, live, at this time, person. Okay. But this man is the great, great, great. I think one of the definitions of great is profound. But the scripture says here, Acts 8:10, this man is the great power. So God is a great power, not just a power or any power, but a great power. Remember? That shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. But I read from Romans. This man is the great power of God. This man is the great power, having the designation or the name, the title of God, this man. Okay? Is God light with you? He's light in the church. He's light in religion. Is he light with you? Is he unimportant? Is he a trivial thing? Is he not burdensome? Is the Bible, the Holy Bible, the Authorized Version Bible, is that book a light thing with you? If the Bible is a light thing with you, then God is a light thing with you. If God is a light thing with you, no matter what you say, then the Bible is also a light thing with you. The true God has spoken today. The true God is at this time alive and speaking and seeking to make himself known, as the scriptures now directed him to do. This God, this man, the great power of God, this man that shall rise, the scripture says, to reign over. What is the purpose of his rising? Well, that statement answers it. To reign over the Gentiles. That's what it said. Will you submit yourself to God, the true God, the man that is the great power of God, the man that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, the scripture says, the man who the Gentiles are commanded to rejoice in, with his people, with God's people, the one the Gentiles are commanded to praise, a real man a real God, a real man, a true God. Oh, it is time. It is time for truth. It is time that the truth of God be known. And the Bible says, the truth of the Lord endureth. That's why the truth of God has to be established. It has to be legally and fully established in the legal world that God is here and that this man is the great power of God. Who is this man? This man is the man that is now speaking, is the great power of God. I would not say these things if I did not have much evidence to support. I have a Bible that supports me in everything I am saying. And I have written those things down. So I have the proof of God. I don't just have words. I have the proof of God. And the proof of God comes from the scriptures, having to do with God. Okay. To me and with me, God is very important. The scriptures, the Bible, the authorized version, see God as being very important. If the scriptures see God as a weighty matter, the scriptures see God as a matter that cannot be overlooked. Or rejected. Or put down. God is a very important individual. A whole book that talks about a man from beginning to end, from Genesis through Revelation, God is talked about. Talked about. The scriptures set God on high. And the scriptures make God what he is. God is holy. Is to be heard. He's to be submitted to. He is to rule. Until the next time, thank you.